But let's start with something that you're likely to be sighing over right now.
Before you start your washing, rinse and check this knowledge. Yeah, I'm spitting. Take it from someone who's never had a sock go missing. I'm initially efficient, using hampers for sorting. Whites and darks and delicates, I find my method rewarding. While your way is sufficient, it's leading more towards deficient. My proficiency with space is from consistent persistence.
If you're joining Books and Arts on Saturday, you may well be listening while doing the washing. Saturday used to be the great washing day. And if you can only see domestic drudgery in what you're doing, drudgery and repetition, keep listening because we might just change your mind. A new exhibition, Hung Out to Dry, has opened at the University of Queensland's Art Museum. It searches for the sublime in the everyday and for the sheer pleasure of a crisp sheet that smells of sunlight. Naomi Stead is the academic whose research initiated the exhibition. Alison Holland is the exhibition curator, and artist Marie Hirata has made a new work for the show. Welcome all of you to Books and Arts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Naomi Stead, let's begin with you. You're an architecture academic. Why are you interested in washing?
Well, I guess in architecture we tend not only to be interested in the built fabric, you know, the walls and floors and windows and so forth, but also what happens in buildings. So human social life and practices. And the drying of clothes, while it seems like a kind of maniacally tiny, minute approach to the subject, is it actually also bears upon things that are relevant to architecture, like the use of sunlight, the moderation of light and glare, the use of natural ventilation and sun and wind, and which is particularly relevant to climate-responsive architecture, which is particularly associated with Queensland.
And I guess it's a kind of architecture or a part of the environment that we all have a relationship to. I mean, what's your own relationship with washing, Amy, if I can ask you this personal question so early in the interview?
Well, I would say I really enjoy, probably less the washing part, but definitely the drying, the hanging and the bringing in, but then, interestingly enough, not ironing or folding really so much.
No, that's a particular perversion, I think, the pleasure in ironing. But so what is it about hanging up washing for you that's pleasurable? And it might be something different given that you were hanging up your washing in a Queensland environment than, say, in Melbourne or in Hobart.
Well, I mean, it takes me back to why I first started thinking about this subject in the first place. And when I first realised that I was enjoying hanging out the washing, which was some years ago when I was living in Adelaide and studying architecture. And I guess at the time I was having, you know, an aesthetic and artistic education. And I guess I started to realise that some of the things that I was learning about in architecture school were also, you know, there, manifest and materialised as I hung up the clothes, particularly outdoors, because it was the colours of the fabric against the sky, the colours of the pegs, but also the composition, the symmetry, the shape, the sort of tautness, the form, all of these kinds of things, the drapery, the billowing. I started to see that it was that you really could take pleasure in this seemingly banal domestic chore.
Alison Holland, the way Naomi describes that is a very aesthetic experience, and there are a lot of great artworks depicting the act of washing and the act of hanging out washing. It's been a really popular subject.
It has. Probably the most significant work in the exhibition for stimulating this whole response was Naomi and I had a conversation about her interest in washing, and I had just seen a time-based piece by Chris Benny, who's a Brisbane artist, and it was of some sheets drying on the line, and it goes for about 8 minutes, but it's a continuous loop, so you can play it forever, and behind it is some white noise that kind of builds and then subsides. So I was really fascinated by this contemplation of the sheet, the sort of vitality of the whiteness moving in the breeze, and it just fascinated me. And then that made me start to look at other artists who have been working you know, with the idea of the sheet, but not necessarily as a sheet per se, but as a white space on the canvas or, you know, as a performative piece. And that's when I came across Mari Hirata's work. Yeah.
So, Mari, I will hear from you in a moment. But just before that, I think this sense of the tradition that there is in visual art of depicting washing and hanging out washing, because Chris Benny's work is video, as you say, and the focus is on the objects that are hung up. But I just had a quick look on Google of the tradition of realist painting in sort of the 19th century and early 20th century of predominantly women's bodies. I mean, there are those beautiful paintings by Degas of women doing the bathing. There's a lot of sort of early colonial art in Australia as well, isn't there?
Yes, that's right. In fact, the Queensland Art Gallery has a number of works which are very fascinating for exactly that reason. Edward Degas sort of focused on the laundry woman in his work because it offered him an opportunity to look at women sort of uncorseted with their shoulders bare. They were sort of athletic because they had this hard work that they were doing in quite hot environment. So it was a wonderful sort of contrast to his ballet dancers. But also it was at the time it was also a little bit shocking because laundry women were unique in the fact that it was one profession that women could work in where they could be financially independent, but at the same time they also compromised their morality because they were washing the intimate garments of single men and maybe visiting their quarters to pick up the washing or to return the washing, and so there was a suggestion that there might have been prostitution involved. So it's a wonderfully fascinating thing. But then of course there's other people like Camille Pissarro, who did he did a lot of paintings of his garden, and one of the subjects that he focuses on in his garden paintings is perhaps it's his wife hanging out the washing of the seven children that they had. So the sheets in the backyard become quite picturesque there.
Yeah, it's and as you say, it's we've got to remember, you know, now we're doing the washing just means pressing a button. It was such a physically demanding labour, that sort of boiling up coppers and putting clothes through the wringer. I remember my own grandmother in Ashgrove in Brisbane had a wringer, which I remember watching her use, and that was hard work to look at. Marie Harata, you're one of the artists who've been invited to be part of this exhibition at the UQ Art Museum, and you're originally from Japan. Can you remember when you first saw Australia's great contribution to the culture of washing, the Hills Hoist?
I was 10 years old when I came to Australia, and I just remember this giant contraption in the backyard. It was all folded up, so we sort of had no clue what it was and what it was for, and so we eventually worked out how to sort of open it up, and then it was still sort of enigma of, you know, a structure that was as big as a small living room space in Japan, really. It was so big, just for hanging laundry. So we were sort of puzzled as, really, you know, this is all it's for?
Because how is washing hung in Japan?
Well, typically, not a lot of people have backyards, so especially in the city or the suburbs. So typically it's hung in the on the balcony, or maybe in the living room or bedrooms, just whatever space that they can utilise and find.
So what's the work that you've made for this exhibition, Hung Out to Dry?
So the work Passages is an interactive installation. I made a large-scale photogram work, hand-printed in the darkroom. And so the image was then printed onto fabric, which was made into what's called a noreng in Japan. And what it is, it's a traditional Japanese room divider or hanging. Typically it's a piece of rectangular fabric with a split in the middle so you can walk through it. The installation consists of several of these noreng hangings, all suspended from above at the same height, all in one straight line and with a split in the middle, so you can walk right through the installation. When I was first approached by Alison and Naomi to make work for this exhibition, I was looking, sort of exploring more of ideas of my own culture of drawing. And at that particular time in my arts practice, I was doing a lot of large-scale printing in the darkroom. So my idea of hanging was to hang these giant pieces of sheets of photographic paper to dry in the darkroom.
And on ABCRN on Books and Arts this Saturday, we're talking about washing because there's a new exhibition hung out to dry at the University of Queensland Art Museum that explores the subject of laundry in art and in our lives more generally. I'm speaking with Naomi Stead, Alison Holland and Marie Harata. Naomi, when Marie describes seeing the Hills Hoist for the first time and thinking, what on earth do we do with that? But it strikes me too that Hills Hoists are becoming less common in Australian backyards. That culture of washing is changing here too.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, I can speak personally because when I bought the house that I live in now, it had this enormous, the largest Hills Hoist I've ever seen, which, you know, it had a wingspan of, oh, God knows, but it was something like 8 metres. You know, it was really, it took up virtually the whole backyard. So even though I'm absolutely committed to the line, the, you know, the passive line drying of clothing and I have no tumble dryer, the first thing we did really was sell it on eBay.
To some Hills Hoist collector somewhere.
Well, I was really pleased that someone did buy it to take it and set it up on an acreage, yeah, which is a big job to dismantle them and dig them out. Like there's a massive chunk of concrete under there. But I didn't want it to be scrap. You know, I sort of still believe in the object, but I didn't want it taking up my entire garden.
Every person needs to wash their clothes. Are there significant differences the way that that happens?
I think there are. I mean, I don't have, you know, I don't have hard data on that, but I'm pretty sure there are because, for example, I know that the Americans wash more. They wash very frequently, presumably with smaller loads, either that or they're washing their clothes a lot of times. Elizabeth Shove is a scholar who's cultural studies scholar who's done really interesting work in this area and has found that increasingly people wash for freshness. They wash for the smell. So an item of clothing might not be visibly dirty, but it's the knowledge that it's been worn, even if only for 5 minutes, you know, being tried on. And then people will tend to wash it so that it's sort of entirely fresh and new.
And Naomi Stead, there is an oral history project that's included in this exhibition.
Yeah, well, I guess the oral history is the kind of the primary research, I guess, that sits behind the exhibition and is a collaboration between myself and my colleague Kelly Greenop, who's also at the University of Queensland, and Johnny Roberts, who is a robotics engineer professor at QUT. And Kelly and I interviewed, I think we've interviewed nearly 20 people about their specific drying practices, particularly people who are very particular or passionate about those practices and have very specific systems that they always use.
Which we all know those people. We may be those people.
Indeed, we may well. we took some excerpts from those oral history interviews and made an installation in the exhibition, which is called My Drying Life, which utilises part of a rotary hoist, a winding mechanism of a rotary hoist to cycle through these quotes and images from drying. But it's
and so what can you give us one or two that struck you in particular? I mean, I know that I had a great aunt who'd always do matching coloured pegs. Mm. What are some of the drying practices that people are passionate about?
Well, pegs certainly are one thing, and whether the pegs stay on the line or come in, people are very passionate about that.
Some people keep them on the line.
Yeah, although that is very frowned upon by others.
Well, understandably.
direction of socks. Some people absolutely adamant they should be pigeon-toed. Other people that they should be together, you know, going in the same direction. There's a lot of controversy about double pegging, uh-huh. Like whether you have two layers. But I guess the oral history project is also about the meaning that people make out of this seemingly mundane activity and the pleasures that they manufacture.
And is the meaning around that this will give you a better dry, whatever that means?
It's more like, yeah, that's part of it. You know, narratives about efficiency of twitting it out, efficiency of drying, but also people connect it with their mothers. Memories of childhood.
Because they've been taught how to
hang
in a particular way.
Yeah, and also because they might have hung out, basically, with their mother around the clothesline as she did those domestic chores. I mean, many people had that experience. But then likewise, when people become parents, fathers and mothers, you know, there's a lot of laundry when you become a parent. And sort of doing that with your young child can be a very pleasurable experience. But also it seemed that the washing line really becomes a place of refuge for some people, a place where they can be alone, do this task, which is, you know, a big task but not particularly, you know, it's not mentally demanding, but there are ways of making it fun. So people can make meaning out of that in terms of caring for others, caring for the self, caring for clothing, And as a kind of index of time's passage, really, like, you know, your son's pants come through the wash and you think, wow, he's really too tall for them now. It's time to move on. So it's a kind of index of your children growing older, caring for them.
Of physical changes.
Indeed. Yes.
Alison Holland, it's one obvious difference between cultures around washing is whether this laundry is visible or not. I mean, I think if for Australians where washing and laundry is kept usually in a private space, travelling overseas, I lived in Ecuador and Cuenca for a few months, and every Saturday there'd be groups of people who'd come to the river that ran through the town and do their washing and beat it and hang it out to dry on the rocks. So it can be, laundry can be a very public thing. Are there artists who pick up on that in the exhibition?
Yes, absolutely. Some of the works in the exhibition are from the art museum collection and the historical works. So in particular, Raphael and Lionel Lindsay have done watercolours when they were travelling in Spain and Italy, which look at different kind of drying methods. And the interesting thing that is just about every work in the exhibition shows a different method of drying, which fascinates me as an art historian, because I would never have thought that it would be such a fascination for artists, but clearly it is. So, yes, there's this whole idea of the exotic other, you know, seeing small villages and things like that with their washing on display. In Italy recently, there was some discussion in Genoa about whether the medieval part of the city should still be a practice that people hang their laundry out from their windows, and whether this was, you know, acceptable. And the local response in the newspaper was, well, actually, you could consider it to be intangible cultural heritage, that it sets the scene for how people live here. Mm. And definitely, if you talk to people who travel to Venice or anywhere, when they're walking the back streets and underneath people's washing that's drying above them, they feel like they've left the tourist path, that they've actually come to the domestic private space of the city and are quite engaged with, you know, that sort of experience. Yeah.
And there's also sort of indigenous strands. We've both got the coughs.
Yes.
Indigenous strands in this history as well. And I'm thinking, talking of Hills Hoist, that fantastic installation by the Yorta Yorta man Lynn Onitz of fruit bats on, yes, a Hills Hoist that's held at the Art Gallery of New South Wales.
Yes. Yes, I mean, it's amazing how many artists have actually worked with the rotary hoist or with the ideas of washing and drying. We have a work by Adrian Kneebone, who's an Australian artist. She's not from Brisbane. She lived in the Northern Territory for about 15 years, working with remote communities out there. And she was gathering a lot of seeds for reclamation on mining sites. So she's created this work called As Rough As Grass Undies, which is so much fun. It's a series of lacy pink underwear that have been sown with grass seeds. So you get this really sort of, looking at it, you get this really sort of sense of the tactile, of the, you know, the grass seeds scratching up against your, you know, delicate skin. But it's so beautifully layered with these ideas of the Australian female who is living perhaps not in the urban centre but out in rural spaces where they long for that kind of the creature comforts of the inner city, you know, which is sort of symbolised by the pink lace undies. But in fact, they're very resourceful, very strong women who, you know, who are engaged with living in this landscape. Mm. So it's a great work. It's a very powerful work. Yeah.
Is it? I mean, we're almost sort of assuming, I guess, that it's a women. It's women are the subject of paintings around laundry. It's women's work or even women's clothing. Is that pretty much the case for the works that are in this show?
I'm just trying to think. I mean, there are men who have painted air-dried laundry, but it always seems to be women that are depicted, yes. I mean, one of the other works in the exhibition which is worth talking about is Georgia Roxby Smith's work called Lara Croft, Domestic Goddess 1 and 2. Georgia is a recently emerging artist, and she has done a lot of work with the gaming environment, with virtual worlds. And so she's taken the gaming idol Lara Croft, who's so full of this kind of feminine independence. You know, she's intelligent, she's agile, but she's also incredibly sexualized. and taken her out of her gaming sort of combat environment where, you know, she shows this strength and agility and puts her back into a big laundry scene, and she's there kind of struggling with her washing and doing her ironing. And, you know, of course, the Avatar has only one set of clothes, so there's multiple sets of exactly the same outfit.
Pants.
But she's chosen to air dry them rather than put them in the tumble dryer. So she's clearly a woman who has, you know, sustainability on her mind. And of course, her working at the laundry is very reminiscent of the same kinds of women that Edward Degas was depicting. So I love that connection between the 19th and the 21st century. It's really fun.
On Books and Arts, I've been speaking to academic Naomi Stead, curator Alison Holland, and artist Marie Hirata. And the exhibition Hung Out to Dry, Space, Memory and Domestic Laundry Practices is at the University of Queensland Art Museum until the 10th of May. You can find links to that exhibition and the wider project on the Books and Arts website here at abc.net.au/rn.